admit I don't look like the athlete of the day supposed to look. My belly's just a little big. My hand is just a little big. But brother, I am bad and they know I'm bad. I am a country boy, a kicker from Austin, Texas. I went to the bars and the streets for education. And I went to the ladies of the evening for a little insight on reality. You know, sometimes life is a drag, sometimes life is a bust, but we all got to do what we must. We got to keep on, keep it on, baby. And let's get funky like a monkey, baby.
It's Monday night, 8 o'clock on the horn. That must mean this is Insincerious. I'm your host, Patrick Davis. With me, as always, producer extraordinaire, Sam Pika, rocking hard behind the glass there in our separate rooms, safely doing radio, Sam.
Yeah, we're like 15 feet away, bro. We blow six out of the water.
I mean, there's a whole wall in between us. We just have glass.
That too.
Like, it's like a prison visit. Like, every time I come in here, it's a dark. We also don't turn the lights on for some reason.
Yeah. We do it in the dark here on Insincerious.
On the show, you know, we're going to talk about some things. And Baron Bruce Castlebury is calling in Insincerious News, like we always do. I do have a couple text questions, if anybody wants to chime in. 512-337-3776. A couple things. One we'll explain later. So the one I'll explain later is where is your favorite place to sit at a game? Like, where is it? Is it at your house? Is it on your couch? Is it front row? Is it an upper deck? Where is your favorite place to watch a game from? And then the other question, very simply, I just want to get a poll of any of our listeners. If you're out there and want to text in, 512-337-3776. Turkey, yes or no? Is turkey the best meat? Is that the best thing you're going to get? Or is it turkey overrated? I think turkey's overrated.
You're a monster.
I don't. It's dry. It's not the best thing. You know what? You can slather other stuff on it, but it's not as good. Ham blows turkey out of the water.
I will agree with that.
Out of the water, but ham blows turkey. So I don't know why we're not just, we're hamming it up. For Thanksgiving, we got to turkey it up because they're trying to sell. This is another play by Big Turkey to make it. I'm just serious. So if you want to text in, if you believe in turkeys or if you agree with me, turkey is overrated, go ahead and hit us up on the text line. I want to see if anybody's got an opinion on this.
I have a strong opinion on this. Have you ever had a fried turkey?
I think I've had a piece, but I don't think I've had I think I've had it in like a catering situation where I was somewhere that had it.
That is some moist turkey. I'll give you, like, turkey can be a little dry sometimes if you're going to smoke it up, if you're going to cook it up, bake it, whatever.
Yeah.
But, bro, you fry up a turkey? Oh, my God.
This is, it's, for me, it's like turkey. I've never kept eating turkey. Like, turkey's not a thing where I'm like, I'm going to keep shoveling in my face. Which, as if you look at the size of me, that's most things. Most things. I'm like, turkey, you're like, you get turkey. And then I'm like, give me seconds on the ham. So maybe some more mashed potatoes. I'll even go peas. And I'll go with the greeneries. And I'll go with all that. But the turkey, you're like, I don't really. And I'll also say this. Don't give me any of your fancy smancy cranberry crap. Give me the thing that comes out of the can.
Yep.
That's all I've ever wanted. Every time someone brings it, and I love my brother's wife, which is a great person. I like my brother's wife. But she will make like nice stuff and you'll be like, oh, it's great. And then I talk to my parents. My parents are like, yeah, we prefer the can. Of course you do. It's just better. It's terrible for you. No one knows what's really in it. And that's why it's delicious. It's like the chicken McNuggets of Thanksgiving.
I've had the privilege of talking to Mark Henry about this subject for some reason. I don't know how it came up. But
out of all the things. Dude, you talked about him, about his amazing fake retirement speech or his illustrious 20-year career. Ah, cranberry sauce.
No, yeah, cranberry sauce. But he feels exactly the same way. I remember him talking about literally bringing cans like to gatherings and people being like, dude, you're really gonna do me like that? Like, I made all this fresh stuff and you're really gonna bring a can here?
First of all, if Mark Henry does anything, you say thank you, sir, and let it go, because that man is gigantic. He is very strong.
Yeah.
But yes, so that's on. I just want to. So, and I think this is the thing. I think turkey gets a better name because of that cranberry sauce.
Okay, so you think that it's getting carried by cranberry?
Yes, because I think everybody likes, and you just can't do that. Like, when else can you be like, hey, can you give me a can of this clearly doesn't seem like food cranberry sauce? what can I put that on? They're like, nothing, except for turkey once a year. And you go, cool, that's what I want turkey for.
That cranberry sauce always reminds me of, like, those weird healthy fruit bars that aren't quite fruit snacks, but are kind of fruit snacks. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, have you, yeah, one of those,
One of those things that sells itself is, like, a snack, like a healthy snack, and then you lure the back. It's like serving size, one bite. This one bar has eight serving sizes to try and make it seem like it's not so bad for you.
God, I can't wait. I can't wait, bro. And see, like, I'm a little worried this year because I know my family has been talking about buying a turkey out, and normally we have a little bit of a tradition where my favorite part of Thanksgiving is getting to watch my mom. She full out believes that naming a turkey and, like, dancing with it and playing with it and singing with it all day long will make it taste better. And for all I know, it could be true, because it's been many, many years since I've had a turkey that was not played with, danced with, and sung to. So,
now I'm going to throw this out there. I'm assuming you mean a dead turkey that she's doing that with.
Yes. No, she is not.
Because it seems like it'd be much cooler if she was doing this with a live turkey. And the turkey's like, my life is fantastic, slice dinner.
Oh, that would be better. Maybe if you make it happy before it dies.
Yeah, I think that would do more, wouldn't
it? Yeah, we might be missing a step.
Yeah, I feel like you should be doing it with a live turkey, not a dead turkey. Dead turkeys can't get better.
Well,
I mean,
no,
dead turkeys don't jive. I don't know if that works.
The whole process is making it better. That's what you're doing all day long. You're making it better. Are you going to go in on that raw turkey, Patrick? Is that what you're saying? It's no better than that?
No. It's zero. I'm just saying turkey's overrated. That's all I'm saying is overrated.
All right.
I think I've had this discussion with Rod Babers before, too, many years ago, about deviled eggs being overrated as well. That deviled eggs are the lazy way of getting out of a side dish. And then it's like, yeah, no, make a real side dish. Don't devil it. Don't do a $4 deviled egg trick.
What did deviled eggs take hours, bro?
They do not take hours.
They take hours for me. I've made them like twice, and it took me at least like an hour and a half both times.
All right. How much of that was you forgetting that you were making deviled eggs?
A large portion of
like
that.
Like three
was
and a half eat, hours eat, of the 4 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We know that, Sam. Yeah, but that's, I'm curious if anybody has a favorite Thanksgiving food and if turkey's overrated. That's my curiosity always with people, because it's, you know, I think this is the, like, I'm all for family. Good.
That's a great start.
My family's going to be doing it virtual this year. And I keep hearing people, they're like, that's not what Thanksgiving's. It's like, it's about, we have to get together. No, you don't. It's an arbitrary holiday. You get together all the time. The entire basis of this holiday is turkey, and turkey's overrated.
It's about the Indians and something.
No. It's about giving thanks, which you're like, cool. Do you mean giving thanks in that awkward thing where whoever starts it says everything that everybody else is going to say, and the rest of the table's got to sit there like a jerk and be like, well, I mean, I'm also thankful that we're all healthy. Thanks for stealing that one up front, Dad.
You never pull the I'm thankful that this is over and just like get up and walk out or something like that?
No. That was also another thing. I will tell people who are doing virtual Thanksgivings, 30 minutes is all you really need. Because Thanksgiving is over in person within the first hour. Like, okay, the fun of Thanksgiving is over within the first hour. The first hour, like, an hour in, you're like, oh, it's still kind of fun. Hour and a half in, you're like, oh, my God, we haven't eaten yet. This is still like 3 or 4 more hours with this family that, like, we already talked about everything. Nothing has happened to any of us in the past 8 months. Nothing is going on. There's nothing to talk about.
I honestly can't.
So this is every discussion. So what do you think about the Spurs, Patrick? And then I get my opinion, and then they say something like that's like, oh, that's pretty good, and that's it. That's the Spurs conference, and we're done with that. What do you think about this team? I think they need to get a new quarterback. Okay, like there's nothing. No one gives me that. I don't have any in depth conversations, and then it's just, hey, what are you going to talk? What's changed? I don't know. things are a little bit worse than you thought they were 3 months ago. But you're still here. That's what's happening.
I guess I just don't feel that because I have a different kind of family. You know, like it's gonna be me and my mom talking about like weird doctor shows and what's been going on, and me and my dad arguing about like Total Recall and whether or not everything was a dream, or if Arnold Schwarzenegger
you do Total Recall.
No, it's just. I know it's going to be that because I watched Total Recall last week and my dad said he would watch it this week.
Okay.
So I know
you're setting up.
I know that at some point we're going to argue about whether or not Total Recall was a dream or not, but I don't know. I just feel like I might have a slightly more depraved family than you do, Patrick.
No, because there will be those conversations, but like I don't watch a lot of TV of just regular shows, and when I do, other people don't watch. And so, like that, my other family will have those conversations about whatever show they're watching. But then it always gets to the point where everyone else at the table, which is like three other people, two four other people, we're all like, yeah, none of us know what you're talking about. And you really, and then no one's ever caught up to the same thing. Everyone's on different episodes.
Oh, you get the don't spoil it.
Yeah, so they're like, oh, I don't know, we're planning on watching that this weekend or something like that. Yeah, I think if you set it quickly, you get in there, and then look, when this is all over, then we can all get together and have a real, but what's the point in this fake, hey, we got it. No, we have to do it. We have to do it on this Thursday. No. Enjoy a 4-day weekend. Call your mom, you know, get on a Zoom and say, but like, you know, with this, who's going to talk in a 12-person Zoom? You're all just going to sit there and eat the worst thing to do around other people, chew food.
Straight into your microphone.
Yeah.
I really don't get the prospect of like a virtual Thanksgiving. I mean, I guess if maybe you have old parents like that, you know, to where you are, I literally can't go over there. But like, if you're going to do it anyways, just do it. Just go over there.
No. Look, I say don't travel.
Yeah.
So don't get on a plane. Don't go. If you're living in the same city and you're both being okay, then I'm fine with it. The older they are, the more you don't want to do it. I'm not going up because my parents are trying to go with my brother's wife has issues with she gets sick a lot more, so they're trying to make sure they don't have it there. And so it's just a thing of like I'll go up and I'll probably I think my parents are gonna make me like some dressing or something like that. So I'll go up and say hi to them.
You say dressing?
Yeah.
Are you talking about stuffing?
Yeah, but we call it dressing.
Okay. Yeah. What is that? Who? Like,
I don't know.
The delineation?
I have no horse in this game. No, nothing. I don't. I've got nothing in the game. That's just what my mom's always called it. So that's what I call it.
Okay.
I don't care. That one doesn't bother me anyway.
I'm just wondering where.
I think dressing is on the outside. Stuffing is on the inside. Is it what I believe it is?
So it's literally made on the outside of the turkey.
No. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's just you dress. Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was like a tomato-tomato kind of thing, where it was like, oh, it's all the same. I didn't realize there was an actual difference.
No, I think that's what it is, because stuffing doesn't make sense if it's not stuffed.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I get that much, but I just thought it was like a, you know, like how British people call arugula rocket and stuff like that, which they're totally wrong, but
they call it
still,
what?
Rocket? Like, rocket.
I've never heard this one.
Yes, bro.
I've also never heard, I've heard you say arugula and maybe two other people in my life. So it's not a thing that comes up a lot.
Fair enough. Arugula is not a very common subject.
Yeah.
But
there's no point I would be like, hey, can I take the lift to the loo? And then they'd be like, would you like some arugula? I don't think that would happen. But
you're right, because if you said lift to the loo, they would have said, would you like some rocket?
And I would have said, sure, what kind of drug is that? Because that's the kind of life I lead. Did you do anything fun this week, Sam?
Yeah. Speaking of what kind of drug would you like, I figured out what I'm going to get my roommate for Christmas.
Yeah.
It is an automatic joint roller, which I did not know existed. It is literally like a box that you put all the appropriate things in and you close it and it spits out a joint.
I see.
The most insane piece of technology I have ever seen. But
so they've invented weed gnomes.
Yes, basically.
Gotcha. Weed gnomes. Weed gnome thing for Sam's roommate. Sam, we did get a text in from a Saints fan.
Uh oh.
That is asking you about how you thought about the Saints this week and some Taysom Hill.
I wasn't super pleased with Taysom, but I was happy to see him. He got a win. He almost threw a couple interceptions, which got really scary. He was a lot more mobile, which was really nice to see. I feel like that made
really you think the young Taysom Hill that also plays in the field is a little bit more mobile.
The interchangeable tight end. What? Who would have guessed? Fair enough. But I mean, I didn't know if they would be running him, you know, because they don't do that a whole lot with Drew. So I didn't even know if the plays would be in place, if the things would have been practiced to have been able to have him do that. But the main thing that I was wondering was, where the hell was the defense that played this Sunday all the rest of the year? They got like 8 sacks and an interception, bro. Nothing else that has happened all season long would lead me to believe that they would pull off 8 sacks and an interception.
Well, maybe they don't like Drew Brees.
Maybe the defense just doesn't like Drew. That's fair, but like, what the hell was that?
Then again, I will say, I figure if you had any problem with Drew Brees being conservative, my guess is the Mormon is more conservative than Drew Brees. That's just my guess. Wait, I could be completely wrong.
Wait, is Taysom a Mormon?
He went to BYU, right?
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
So my guess is you're Mormon. that was good to watch. My Texans got the big win. Get a big win over the Patriots, which is fun because I have a buddy who bet 2 people that the Texans would not finish above 500, and he has now been stalled out at just, he needs one more loss so he can get to 8-8 and win 2 bets. And he is really sweating because he is like, no Christmas for my kid if the Texans go on a run right here. So I enjoy watching that and giving him crap. They're going to lose again. The Texans are not very good this year. But it was fun to watch some football, watch some college football. Did you watch anything other than the Saints, or are you just?
Any other football games you're talking? Not too many. I barely had time to catch the Saints, honestly. And I was just fortunate.
You barely had time.
Yeah, bro.
So busy.
I'm up here working the Cowboys, which is the worst team of all time. So I guess I kind of saw the Cowboys.
They won as well?
Yeah, that was surprising. I didn't think they would win another game for pretty much the whole season. At least until, I mean, Dak's out still.
Yeah, Dak's out for a while. Joe Burrow is now in Cincinnati. Gets that, whenever they go like, hey, it's all the terrible things and probably more. they broke his leg completely. It's why you don't like starting quarterbacks with no offensive line.
Yeah, really. Well, I don't know. I always get a little disappointed when they win, so that was a little disappointing to get to see.
You get disappointed when they win.
I hate the Cowboys, Patrick. I don't get
the hatred for the Cowboys.
I
don't get hatred for teams that aren't very good. The Cowboys have not been very good in your adult life.
Yeah.
Cowboys have not been very good since the mid-90s.
Absolutely.
Maybe the late 90s, but I'm saying mid-90s.
But they're still America's team.
They're not. Wait, America's why do people team. Believe things? Like, all right, I'm definitely not somebody who's like the mainstream media. But if you keep hearing these things and you're like, but they're not. Like, I get, yes, there's a lot of people like the Cubs, a lot of people because WGN, a lot of people root from across the country. The Cowboys, because they were good in their team. But now people, like kids now, don't watch their Cowboys like that. So it's one generation of people. One generation of people grew up and the Cowboys were good and they were on TV a lot. So they were America's team. But no one under 30 cares about them like that. They're not America's team under 30.
So what you're saying is it's still just me being part of my generation hating on the boomer culture of the day. As I think people.
No,
would put
I think
it.
I think there's one person you don't like who likes the Cowboys, and you have stuck it on every other Cowboys fan.
I don't know, bro. I definitely get a little peeved every time I see a Cowboys jersey in public. I legitimately talk mess when I see people wearing Cowboys jerseys in public.
I wouldn't do that. But then again, I've seen a lot in San Antonio where the type of people wearing the Cowboys shirt would not be the type of person that I would want to talk to just in any form of, you know, you're just like, you know what? You go have a good day, sir.
Yeah. Outside of Ripley's, like, why would you go to San Antonio?
San Antonio Spurs. They have some good concerts there. Hopefully we'll start getting those concerts. When we get the Moody Theater open, but right. Or the Moody Arena open.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's fair.
I did want to touch on. So we went down and we set up today for UT basketball starts Wednesday. And there's a women's game and a men's game. So we're setting up. And so there's all the COVID protocols. So things look a little different there. They're zip tying up seats so you can't sit close, you know, next to other people and open up where they could be. They've got plexiglass on both sides of the court for areas. We are not going to be courtside anymore doing the radio broadcast. We will be up in a suite.
Nice. Catered?
No. We may get food, but we're not getting catering, Sam.
Ugh. They don't even show you the appropriate love.
No, they were not getting catering and booze and all that just shoved into our suite. But it's I'm very happy to have a suite because it keeps us away from everybody.
Yeah.
But that's why I was asking where your favorite place to sit is at a game, because I was thinking about it, and it was like, it's awesome when we sit courtside. It was always been awesome to sit courtside. Just because it's, you know, it's how cool is it to, you know, you get to watch these games and they're up close and personal. And especially like women's sports, I feel the closer you are, the better the game is. So if you're watching on TV and you're not interested in the game and it's not too good team, you're going to be pretty bored with it. But if you start moving up and when you're courtside for a women's game, it moves a lot faster than you think it does. And it, you know, the game is a lot better. So I enjoy sitting courtside. But if I was going to buy, if I was all of a sudden a millionaire and buying season tickets, I'm buying tickets in a suite. I'm getting a suite.
Right.
Because I'm like, look, I like walking around. I like my space. I got my own bed. I got a TV in here so I can check on the game and I can see like, oh, if I want to flip on another game, I got in there. I got my drinks. I don't have to keep going out to
the concession stand.
I can lounge. Nice and calm, and I don't like, I'm not around people. I like the not being shoved into it.
Right, you can go inside to AC. That's the big one here in Texas.
Well, yeah, but I mean that's in an arena. You're
okay, fair enough. Yeah,
you're kind of always in the AC. But I was thinking of it. Whereas, like, if you had the opportunity and you go, I'm going to one game ever. Should I sit courtside or in a suite? I'd always say go courtside if you get the opportunity. For one, just because it's an experience. So if you get to sit on the 50-yard line front row at a football game, go there. And then when you get bored of that, when you're like, okay, I've done that, come on up to the suite. Because that's when you're like, all right, now we can kind of chill and relax. But I know there's some people that appreciate to be in rowdier sections.
Yeah.
So there's some people that like to be up in the upper deck when they're like, all right, around my people. Because you don't want to be around all the donors and stuff like that who are a little bit more uptight. Sam, where would be your favorite place?
I think my favorite place would be at home. It would be...
You don't even want to go to the game.
No. Too expensive, too many people.
No, but I'm saying you're given tickets. I'm saying you're given free tickets to go to a Saints game.
Yeah, I think even then,
You'd rather be at home?
I'd rather just be at home. Like, okay. I'm definitely more of a homebody to that extent.
I would say this year, home is the right answer for most of it.
Right. But more specifically, I would want one of those recliners that is also a toilet. You know what I'm talking about?
So basically, you don't ever want to get up.
Yeah, no, that would be my perfect game watching experience.
In the fridge
experience.
In the side?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't have to move whatsoever. I you know, at my apartment, I have a little bit of a setup going on. You know, we got like three TVs.
Does your setup involve a towel over the top of you or some blanket over the top of you?
No.
Because the recliner being a toilet is way grosser when you think of the repercussions of that.
Why? Because I'm going to have to empty it at some point? Or?
Well, no, because then you're pantsless on the couch hanging out with your buddy.
No, I'll wait. I'll wait till the time where he's gone.
He just walks back in the room and you're like, I'm pooping.
Yeah.
That seems like a bad thing, Sam. we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk some college football with Bama Bruce Castleberry here on Into Serious on the Horn 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Back on Into Serious here on the Horn. It was a good week of some college football. Watched some games over with my buddy, Mr. Bama Bruce Castleberry. Watched Alabama run roughshod on Kentucky and saw some other good action. So why don't we bring in our brother, Bama Bruce Castleberry, right now. Bruce, how you doing, brother?
Roll Tide, homeboy. Roll Tide. I know Kentucky ain't all that, but they've done a little bit, you know, and I guess it's a an offshoot of one of the Oklahoma coaches' teams going down over there. But you know, he's in the SEC, getting a little beat up a little bit. We'll see what happens. But Kentucky's not a bad team. They played other teams well.
They did have our favorite named running back.
Yes, Kavassier Smoke,
running back, Kentucky. That is a great
22.
name.
22. I mean, you can't be, you cannot mess with that.
And in case you're wondering, it is spelled with a K and a Y, not how Cavassier the drink is spelled. So separate thing.
We Googled that to make sure. I mean, it blew DeBrickishaw right out of the water.
Exactly.
Gosh. But, yeah, there were some good games, man. It was, you know, you actually caught it. I'm going to have to give credit on it. You caught Oklahoma whooping on Oklahoma State. I totally didn't see that. Oklahoma State was supposed to have the best, one of the best defenses in the Big 12. So, yikes on that one, huh?
Yeah, that is that was a bit. But I told you before the game that this was the theory was that Oklahoma State started off really well because they started a lot of they got a lot of older players. Mike Gundy has been there forever, so they kind of had everything set. So they were able to come in week one and ready to go. And once all these other teams that are clearly better than them, which Texas looks to be a better team now, Oklahoma definitely looked to be a better team. Once these teams got going, that they knew how to beat Oklahoma State, and it. I think the biggest thing that was surprising about Oklahoma State is they had these running backs that were running wild on everybody, and they were doing it last year. And that kind of slowed down now.
Come on, man. I think he had 40 yards in the second half, or I don't know if it was all game, but I think it was probably second half he had 40 yards. I mean, Oklahoma acted like they had a defense. It's like in the Big 12, that's brilliant. I mean, and much less in NCAA right now. But, yes, Oklahoma showed up, and, again, you called that, and – I was highly surprised, but is Oklahoma going to be sitting there playing Iowa State or Texas? What's going to happen there?
I mean, that is your big shot is that we're looking at this week is what's going to happen there. We also saw Ohio State, Indiana, which is another big game that the final score looks a little bit closer than what it was because Ohio State kind of let it slip at the end. It was close at the beginning, then Ohio State blew it out. But they couldn't close the door. Was there anything you saw in that game where that was surprising to you?
Yes. The most surprising thing was there again, NCAA defenses. I was like going, if Ohio State has a really good defense, then they're going to just run through everybody. But their defense has issues. I think they have a very young secondary. I don't think. I know. And that's where what was that quarterback's name from Indiana? Pierre whatever. He dissected the whole secondary and was throwing passes. He's going to be playing pro. He's going to be on Sundays. And I think the defense, like I said, on Ohio State was that was just the suspect thing that happened. Their offense rolled like crazy. They got, you know, just like all the atypical, you know, top four, top five teams. They have great quarterbacks. And they got a slew of receivers, and they got a couple of running backs.
Yeah. I mean, it was more – I think the most – the craziest part to me was you're like, you can't let real good, talented teams stick around like they let Indiana stick around. Because if you let a talented team, you know, continue to hang around, they're going to make the plays at the end. If you do that with a Clemson or you do that with a Notre Dame or you do that with an Alabama or, I mean, if you do that with a team how Oklahoma looked this week – teams like that, maybe even a BYU. If you do that with those teams can come back in, and that's when you're playing, all right, who has possession at the end of the game? So I think that was really a big wake-up call for Ohio State this week. We also saw Florida come in and just dismantle Vanderbilt, which is not a surprise, but they're continuing going. BYU 66-14 over North Alabama. BYU's trying to break up. Cincinnati barely beats UCF. So I think BYU's got to, you know, we got to give BYU some credit. They're at least dominating teams, even though they're not playing anybody.
Well, Brigham, BYU, I was all about them, and you know, I feel bad, but again, as we talked about last week, because of these guys, I think, and the COVID situation, and the you know who you're going to put in. These teams have played what? You're going to have played 10 games, and these teams are going to have played 8 games. And we kind of look at it, and you're like, well, what do you do? Like with Ohio State, they didn't prove to be, is Indiana that good or is that conference that good or not that good? This whole lineup and the COVID thing is going to pull out, you know, the 8-team setup. But I just don't – I mean, I want to give a nod to BYU, but – guess what? It's not going to happen. It's going to be Notre Dame, Clemson, either if they beat each other, and then there's going to be Florida, Texas A&M, and Alabama, if whoever beats each other with that situation. And that's how it's going to be.
I mean, and Ohio State, I mean, you saw Wisconsin getting beat this week as well by Northwestern. So Ohio State's going to climb into that playoff as well, you'd predict.
Yes, it's going to be. So as we look at it, is Northwestern on the same side as Ohio State or no?
And the big, I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head.
That's what I'm saying. Though I think those two are going to be playing for the Big Ten if they're on different sides of the conference. And Ohio State is going to run away with it. But again, it's the defenses that are not having time because of the situation and the practicing and all getting on the same page together throughout all of NCAA football. That's why this is so, you have so many teams, you know, coming on the top 10. You're like, what? Look at Liberty. Liberty finally lost to NC State. You know, Hugh Freeze finally lost. Everybody thought Liberty was going to run up there too. You can only go so far with the athletes that you have. I mean, LSU, Texas, Alabama, Clemson, I mean, Ohio State, these are their top recruiting teams, and they're always going to be able to produce, period. When you have a Liberty coming up and running through whatever conference they're in, and Brigham, I mean, dude, I'm telling you, BYU, the first game I saw them play was amazing. I was like, damn, there's a bunch of athletes out there. But then they're playing that conference. But, you know, they're blowing them out. I think they should have a chance, too. Why not? So spread it out. Take it from 4 to 8. It's real simple.
That's it. That's the way to do it. We do got some good games coming up this week. And Friday, we get 3 good games on Friday. We basically get a full day of football on Friday and then a full day on Saturday. We'll talk about Iowa State, Texas to close it out, but Notre Dame and North Carolina playing. Is there any chance Mack Brown comes in here and wrecks shop for ACC teams?
There is no way on the face of this earth he will have a chance. Notre Dame, I honestly think they're for real, and we will, like I said, I think they're just like any other team that they're up there against. They just haven't proven in the last decade that they can hang when they get into, you know, the real deal. But I think that they're going to in North Carolina. Come on, man. Sorry.
I got that. But, I mean, look, Notre Dame's only favored by 4.5 points, which is kind of surprising. I get North Carolina's ranked 25. But this is a 2 versus 25. We saw Ohio State have, they had like 10 points, 14 points against Indiana. Something like that, and that was 2 versus 9, or 3 versus 9.
They were favored by 21 points, bro. No, and they lost. Like I said, they didn't cover whatsoever. Again, it's the defenses that are compromised through this whole situation that we're going through, and that's what we're seeing here. And they're not getting to play enough games, and that's what sucks for these teams that have just come in a little bit. Alabama's defense sucked. They're trying to get it together. Not saying they're the best, but they're finally trying to get on the same page together. Guess why? Because they played together. They're getting in sync, so to speak.
There you go. We do have your big game next week, Alabama-Auburn. Alabama's favored by 24. There you go. That's 1 versus 22. So 2 versus 25 is a 4.5-point game. 1 versus 22 is a 24-point spread. Is this Alabama come out and make a statement game here?
I hope so, but I will take 24. I mean, you know, Omar would kill me for this, but I would take 24 points in Auburn all day long, man. It's a rivalry game. And I mean, you know, one of the most infamous, you know, kick six things happens in that game. And it's just that type of game. It's Michigan, Ohio State, not this year. It's the Aggies and A&M, not this year. It's, you know, it's those rivalries that we're missing out. But I would take the points. And I just hope that's their only, you know, hiccup they can to get to where they need to be. And they seem to be the better team. But it's Auburn, man. It's Auburn.
Let me ask you, is LSU have any shot against Texas A&M? I know that they have not looked good. No. They've looked a little bit better. They beat Arkansas this week. They've also had postponed Florida and Alabama. So they're really just trying to stack this schedule near the end of the season if they do end up playing Alabama again. But LSU, Texas A&M is going to go ahead and run away with this one?
Yes. What's the line on that one? Do you know?
14 points for A&M.
A&M, I think that's a good spread, but A&M's they're starting to come into their defense is coming together, and Jimbo Fisher's finally pulling that whole organization and working his $72 million, you know, into the whole slate. And again, if he keeps running with it, his only loss is going to be to Alabama, as long as they don't lose to Auburn. And he's sitting right there in the back end waiting to jump into that fourth spot in the playoffs.
And finally, let's get to Iowa State and Texas. It's definitely the biggest game on Friday for everyone here, because this is kind of the Big 12 win or go home game for the Big 12 championship for both these teams. Is this? Do you think Texas is going to be able to pull this one off? They are favored by 2 points right now. It's at Texas. In a short week, Texas had 2 weeks off, so they're definitely fresher. I mean, I don't know if that's going to be an issue, but they've been off for 2 weeks because of a bye week and then a postponed game. So you're not getting any I'm worried about Friday games.
Well, you tell me, did you hear Tom Herman this afternoon? I know you did.
I did. I was 15 feet away from when he said this.
I figured you did. Well, you know, the thing about it, man, is I listen, like I said, I'm a huge Horn fan, so I listen to everybody, you know, Kevin and you guys and Bucky and Chad, everybody, and it's like, all say the same thing, and I guess you got to lean on him, because dude, he can't get out of his own way. It's like he doesn't know how to talk and make things. He says some stuff, and then you had John High asked him today about, well, do you think they're going to come in and wreck house? He goes, no. If I thought they were to come in and wreck house, then I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you like this. And he kind of chalked him up, but John High, I guess he was a reporter for one of the news stations here, kind of set him out to hang himself, and he kind of did, but that's what, you know, that's atypical for him.
But I think what we saw with that one where he said earlier, he said, I really respect this team, and I think he had said something earlier in the press conference to the effect of, they've been able to do what they want on offense. Or they've been able to do. And so he said they've been able to do that. And so he says, oh, they're going to be able to do it to you. And he goes, not against us, against other teams they could, is what he was trying to say.
Fair enough. I didn't hear that part of it. Yeah, I just heard when John High was like, oh, my God, he kind of blasted him. But, you know,
again,
what?
Well, I don't get this in press conferences. Hey, Bruce, are you the worst guitar player to ever live? And you go, no. And then I go, wow, that's pretty cocky, isn't it? I don't know what they expect people to say in these press conferences. Do you think Iowa State is going to run all over you? No, I don't. We're going to try and stop them. What do you think people expect him to say?
It's like, you know, he ran into that question. And back to what I said at the first part of this whole question here is, everybody has heard him do the coach talk round and round, and now they're just like trying to come out and they're trying to throw curveballs at him to see if he, you know, blitzes at it, and they basically take advantage of what he said, just like you said there. But in conclusion, I think is Iowa State have the best defense in the land?
Iowa State has a different type of defense where they can drop eight and they can confuse a lot of guys. So it's going to be a question of if Ellinger, who has had trouble in the past reading defenses like that, if he makes the right decisions, if this run game gets going, then they
Bijan
can do things.
Right?
And Bijan Robinson, Keontae Ingram, if he's going to be able to come in as well, hold on to the ball, those kind of things. I have faith in Texas, but so far this year, I have been pretty good at when I pick them to lose, they win. So Iowa State by 20, people.
Okay, well, there you go. You know what? I'm going to say this because I know where you're going with it, and everybody thinks Iowa. I'm going with Texas for the fact that I think that Tom Herman and the boys with the chip on their shoulder, especially Sam, they're going to work with that chip, and I think that they're going to pull it off. I think it's not going to be by much. I think it could be by a point or two, but I think Texas is going to pull it out in the end.
There you go. Man, Bruce Castleberry, what do you got? You got anything to plug this week, Bruce?
Well, our private parties are, you know, being canceled as we speak, and things are slowing down a little bit again, but you know what, roll tide and hook them, and like I said, everybody wear your mask and keep it real.
There you go. Ben Bruce Castleberry calls in every week to talk some college football with us. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to do some insincerious news Ryan, come back on In Serious on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. Back at Ensign Serious here on the Horn. I want to thank everybody who's texted in to us today. Sam, you're going to have to get some chaps for your, I believe you need some chaps for your couch pooping.
Who says I don't already have chaps? I don't have chaps.
By the way, we can say, I don't know, buttless chaps, all chaps. No chaps have butts. That is a thing. So you don't have to call them that. Dwight Rabbit has a very solid point about the Dallas football teams and why Sam is overreacting about his hatred of Dallas. And we also got a text in of some pictures of Urban Meyer holding up what appears to be the Longhorns, holding us hookums up. He's not coming to be the coach, guys. I do not see that happening. I do not see him coming here to take a very stressful job that is hard to recruit right now. And he's making a ton of money to not do that. And also he'd have to deal with everything that comes along with Texas job. I don't think he's coming. Personally, I don't think so. I think that's a lot of some hootenanny and hogwash. I don't believe it's going to happen. Let's get some In-Serious news. Sam, you ready?
Always, bro. We start the show ready for In-Serious news.
A Belgian racing pigeon named New Kim.
New Kim?
New Kim.
Okay.
Sold than Kim. Sold in a bidding war.
Yeah.
Between Super Duper and Hitman. These are all the correct names I said. Give me the price that this pigeon sold for, Sam.
Let's see.
It's a racing pigeon, Sam. Did not know that was a thing.
Thoroughbred racing pigeon. Last time I checked the market, $3,000.
$3,000, Sam, you are only off by just over $1.4 million.
What the hell is going on?
$1.4 million that they're going to stud out this racing pigeon. And I hate to break it to them. Just get a regular pigeon. They all look the same.
That's racist. You can't say that.
I don't think that's how racism works. I think that's maybe speciesist.
Is that
maybe
a thing?
Speciesist?
Can you be speciesist?
Well, I think if I'm saying that all species look like a species looks alike.
Yeah.
Then that would be, I'm not saying a race,
right?
Because pigeons aren't a race.
Whatever it is, you're oppressing me and I feel offended.
In England, a woman at a Tesco, which is, you know, like a shopping, like a little...
Like a Piggly Wiggly.
Like a little grocery store. They apparently had a point in the town where it was a 2 minutes of silence to honor fallen heroes, fallen servicemen and women. And so everybody stops.
Right.
And then apparently one woman was just like, screw that. I'm still shopping. Too long for me to take a break here. And one of the people that saw this was a woman whose apparently his mother died as a servicewoman.
Oy.
And so eggs started to fly, and there was an egg fight at the Tesco.
We had some classic food fight going on.
I don't think it was a classic food fight, because I think classic food fights are thought of as more jovial and fun than like, you're disrespecting dead people. Sam, what would be your response? Are you for moments of silence, or are you against moments of silence?
I feel awkward in general whenever people ask me to be quiet. I think that's just because, I mean, that's why we work in the industry that we do, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, just, I feel strange observing moments of silence. I'm all for it, you know, but just me myself personally, I'm the peeker. You know what I mean? Like Pika is peeking. Okay. I'm looking through the corners of my eyes. I'm looking around. I can't just do that. I need a little bit more going on right then.
We just got a tweet in. Urban at UT, a lot said Nick Saban wasn't coming either. You don't know. Nick Saban didn't come because they couldn't keep their mouth shut, which is why Urban Meyer's not coming. Because the Board of Regents and the donors and everybody else, if this word got out that Urban Meyer was even shopping here, it would be the biggest front page news story. And he would be like, screw that. I don't want the pressure. So the same reason Nick Saban didn't come is the same reason Urban Meyer's not coming. A place in Toronto has said they have a new new stress relief plan that is working well and it harms no one.
Okay.
Hugging cows.
Hugging a cow.
Yes, bovine hugging.
What?
You get some hugging in. The cow enjoys it. You enjoy it. Everybody feels good about it. Sam, would you hug a cow?
I would hug a cow. I have no, you know, I have no quarrels or quandaries with this. But, well, I mean, do we know the cow enjoys this? Like I saw the other day, I saw this video where somebody, apparently a thing that you have to do with cows is like you have to drain cows of methane. So you stick like a little device into the side of them and people just light it on fire. And it's just methane coming out of the cow because they get all bloated and stuff. And it's like uncomfortable for them. So
that, Sam, I did not know that. But do not degas your cow at the same time you're hugging your cow. Two separate activities. There's been findings of voter fraud in New Zealand.
Okay.
The New Zealand Bird of the Year competition. They have found voter fraud in the Bird of the Year competition in New Zealand.
Bastards.
Website is offering $2,500 to watch 25 holiday films in 25 days. Sam, you can go. The website reviews.org is taking applications till December 4th. And finally, a man orders one beer and leaves a $3,000 tip. Give me the name of the beer, Sam.
Lone Star?
Stella Artois. That is a kind of beer you drink to win of and $3,000 and never have to drink again. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back next week with more Insincerious. Everybody, please have a happy Thanksgiving. Be very safe out there. We all want to go back and see live music. So please be safe, and we will see you all very, very soon. Peace.